This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we begin a series called Building Character. In these lessons, Pastor Rick teaches us why it's important for us to mature in our faith. He shows us how to continually grow and develop spiritually so we can become more like Jesus. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help strengthen your prayer life. It's the redesigned Daily Hope Prayer Journal with all new art and graphics for 2020. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Making Hard Changes in Me.
How do I make the changes in me that I want to make, but just seem to be stubborn parts of my personality that I just can't seem to change? You know, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you way too much to let you stay that way. And so his goal is to make you like Christ. How does he do that? Are you just walking down the street one day and he zaps you and instantly you think like Christ and feel like Christ and talk like Christ and have emotions like Christ? No, no, no. It's a process. The verse there on the top of your outline, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, says that it's a process. It says it like this. As God's Spirit works within us, we're being transformed to become more and more like Christ. This change from one degree of glory to another comes from the Lord. Now notice, it's a process. It's incremental. It's not instant that the changes that you want to make in you and the changes God wants to make in you to make you more like Christ are gradual. In fact, the Message paraphrase says, our lives gradually become brighter and brighter. Now, the classic chapter in the Bible on spiritual growth and change is Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you could turn there. We're going to look at verses 11 to 32, because in that passage of Scripture, it gives us six elements that God's Spirit uses to make us spiritually mature. Now, we're going to look at that passage, but we'll also include a lot of other passages too. Now, before we look at those six characteristics of change that are the hard parts to change in our lives, I want to first ask, why is it so hard to change? Why are personal defects so hard to change? Well, let me give you three or four reasons. First, it's hard to change those personal defects because I've had them so long. You see, you didn't get the way you are overnight. You didn't collect all your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups, in a week or two. It actually took years for you to get messed up like you are today, and me the same way. Many of the patterns that we have as adults were established way back in childhood. And, you know, those patterns may have helped you cope emotionally. Sometimes they're survival tactics, but they also can be self-defeating as an adult. And you know it, but sometimes we know they're familiar and you're used to them. And so it's hard to let go of some long standing patterns in our lives. We've had those defects for a long time, and it's kind of who we are. And that leads me to the second reason, and it's because I identify with my defects. You know, the fact is, we often confuse our identity with our weaknesses, with our defects, with our problems, with the thorns in our lives. You know, we'll say, I am a workaholic, or I'm passive aggressive, or I'm just a timid person, or I'm an overeater, whatever. You know, when you see yourself in a certain way, you're setting yourself up for self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, when you say things like, you know, I always get nervous on planes. Well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get nervous on planes. We have these things in our lives that we don't like, but we're so identified with them, we have this unconscious fear. You know, if I change, will I still be me? Will I still be me? And so that's a problem. Now, there's a third reason that we have a hard time dealing with our defects, and that's because every defect has a payoff. You may not realize it, but every defect has some kind of payoff or reward behind it. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. I want you to write this down. whatever is being repeated is being rewarded. In your life, in my life, whatever is being repeated, whatever behavior, whether it's self-defeating or not, it's being repeated over and over. Well, there's a reward somewhere. Whatever's being repeated is being rewarded. You see, we don't keep doing things that aren't rewarded somehow. So anytime there's a negative behavior in my life or in your life, and it's being repeated over and over with yourself or with your kids or with your mate or your partner, there's some payoff, even if it's only temporary. And if you're going to change, you're going to have to figure out what that payoff is so you can say, well, that's not really worth it. You know, let me give you an example. If the mom in your family yells to get kids to the meal, then pretty soon the kids learn that yelling works, and the mom learns that yelling works, and the kids actually, you know, reinforce it in the mom. She keeps yelling because they don't come the first time when she says, dinner's ready, but she goes, dinner's ready. Now it works, and so she repeats it. Sometimes we have a negative behavior, a self-defeating behavior, and it's really masking my real pain. That sometimes we hold on to it. Or it gives me an excuse to fail. You know, sometimes we actually set ourselves up for failure. Or it compensates for my guilt. I'm feeling bad about something, and so I think, well, I got to pay for it, and we do it through this defect. Or sometimes people use their defects to control other people, and they can get very manipulative about that. Sometimes a defect can cause me to get more attention. Now, what I'm saying is there are lots of different motivations for negative and self-defeating behavior in our lives that cause us to keep doing it even though we know it's self-defeating.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Pastor Rick has developed a powerful way to re-energize your prayer life. It's called the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. Writing down your prayer requests and noting how God has answered you is a spiritual habit that will deepen your prayer life. Your faith will be strengthened as you go back and review your prayers and reflect on how God has been working in your life. To keep it interesting for you, Daily Hope comes out with a new prayer journal every year that has a fresh look and feel. This year, the Daily Hope Prayer Journal is themed after Psalm 19:1, where the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." It has a soft, deep blue vegan leather cover and is packed full of scriptures and beautiful artwork that will help inspire you to journal and track your prayers. Pastor Rick asked us to send you a copy of this great resource as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of the Daily Hope Ministry. Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
There are lots of different motivations for negative and self-defeating behavior in our lives that cause us to keep doing it even though we know it's self-defeating. So, It can be our identity. It can be, something that we think that I can't do without. Let me give you a fourth one. Satan fights it. The reason why it's hard to change things in your life is because Satan fights those changes. The Bible calls him the accuser, and he's constantly suggesting negative thoughts to you. He says things to you like, you can't change. I mean, it's hopeless. You've had that defect, that weakness, that problem in your character, you've had it all your life. It's never going to change. No matter what you try, it's not going to work. You may as well give up. Those are words from the evil one. And that keeps you, stuck in a rut. Sometimes Satan uses fear. And he says things like, you know, if you rock the boat, something bad is going to happen in your job, in your relationship, in your marriage, in your friendship. If you rock the boat, people are going to walk out of your life. If you change too much, no one will like you anymore. These are all different reasons, and I just went over them very, very fast because I want to get to the real answer, and that is, what does it take for real change to happen in my life? How do I make the hard changes in me? We can all make easy changes, but I'm talking about the most difficult changes in my life. What does it take? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 teaches us 6 principles. You might write these down. Number 1, real change begins with new thinking. This is why we're doing this series, because the way you think affects the way you feel, and the way you feel affects the way you act. Remember, we started with this thought and this principle that if you want to change the way you act, if you want to change your behavior, you don't focus on your actions or behavior, you focus on your thinking. Because if you change your thinking, it's going to change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel, it'll change the way you act. What you think, you are. Remember, we said that the battle is won or lost in your mind. It's not won or lost in the actions. It's won or lost in your mind. Now, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. A spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. That is, change the way you think. This is why daily time with God is so important, because you have daily renewal when you have daily time with God. You know, the contemporary English version of this verse says, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. This is not something you can do on your own. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in your life, the fruit of the Spirit is an inside job. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Love is, the fruit of the Spirit is patience, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's self-control, it's meekness. Now, these are the fruit of the Spirit, but you can't just tie them onto your life. You can't transform yourself to be like Christ on your own power. To really change, you have to stop thinking like the world does. Now, this is verse 17 to 19 in Ephesians chapter 4. It says this, don't keep living as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused in their thinking. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They're far away from the life that God gives because they have shut their minds. You might circle that. They have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right or wrong, and they've indulged themselves in all kinds of immorality and evil thinking and constant desire for more. That's materialism. The true view is often the exact opposite of the conventional wisdom. In life, whatever the world says, figure the exact opposite and figure that's going to be what the truth is. The opposite of what the world thinks about money, the opposite of what the world thinks about work, the opposite of what the world thinks about sex or fame or what matters most, because we can't think like the world and have our lives be transformed by God. Another verse that says the same thing that Ephesians 4 is Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the values and opinions of this world. The values and opinions. He says, don't conform. Instead, let God transform you by teaching you the right and true way to think. Let me just be blunt in this first point. If you want to be transformed, you can't be conformed. If you want to be transformed by God, you want to be a totally different woman, a totally different man, then you can't be conformed to what our society and what our culture and what the world is saying. You can't do this on your own power. On the screen, the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 3:19. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. That's in the Message paraphrase. I love that. So what we're saying is if you're going to change, you're going to have to start by changing the way you think. And that's not just something you do by yourself. Ephesians 4:23, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. Okay. I got it, Rick. I got it. Let the Spirit change my way of thinking. How does this Holy Spirit do that? How does he change my way of thinking? That's point number 2. Real change requires learning the truth. Real change requires learning the truth. We all know the famous words of Jesus. He said, when you know the truth will set you free. You know this. But did you know that the night before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus prayed this in John 17:17. He said, use the truth to make them complete. Your word is truth. God uses the truth to make us complete. And what is the truth? It's his word. The secret to personal change is not willpower. It's not pill power. It's not resolutions. The secret to personal change in the hard areas of my life is knowing and applying the truth, which is in the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word. The Bible is the truth. So here's the goal. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, he says, if we spend time in the Word of God, if we spend time soaking our minds with the truth, this is how we change the way we think. This is how the Spirit changes our thoughts. He says there in verse 14 and 15, then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because somebody's told us something different or made a lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. Now, what is that verse saying? Why is the truth so important? Well, remember I said at the beginning of this series, behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie I'm believing. Behind every sin, behind every self-defeating behavior, behind anything that's self-defeating in my life, there's a lie that I'm believing. It's not only giving me a payoff, I'm believing something that's just not true. Now, it may be something about myself that's not true. It may be something about life that's not true. It may be something about my past that isn't true. I may be believing something about others that's not true, or something about success, or something about the present. I may be believing a lie about God. I may be believing a lie about failure, or I may be believing a lie about the future. I'm just saying that whenever I get a self-defeating behavior, I'm believing something that simply isn't true. Now, Jesus said, I am the truth. But in Ephesians 4:21, the Bible says, since you have learned all about him, Jesus, who is the truth, you have learned the truth that is in Jesus. The more you get to know Jesus, the more truth you're going to have in your life. And that means you can trust Jesus' word. If he came back to life on Easter Sunday and resurrected, then we can believe everything else he says because he has proven he is God. Now, if you trust God's word, it's going to help you in four different ways. Here's a verse on your screen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it says this about the Bible. All scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful. And then he mentions four ways the Bible is useful. Notice this. To teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, it straightens us out, and it teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing that God wants us to do. Now, in the King James Version, it says, God's word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. In other words, it shows us the path to walk on. It shows us how we got off the path. The Bible shows us how to get back on the path, and the Bible shows us how to stay on the path. That's the four things the Bible teaches us to do. So, in review, if I'm going to make permanent changes in my life, first I got to change the way I think. And that involves the Holy Spirit helping me. And how does he help me? By getting into the Bible, by getting into God's word. The truth is transforming. And the more truth you get in your life, the more transformed you're going to be. If your life is not changing, it means you're not spending enough time in the Word of God. Okay? All right, let's go to the third step that we find in Ephesians chapter 4. The third key to real change is this. Real change requires what I call cleaning house. Real change requires cleaning house. Now, depending on what you need to change or what you want to change, then depends on what you're going to clean, okay? If you want a healthy body, maybe there's some junk food you need to throw out. Throw all that out of your kitchen if you want a healthy body. If you want a healthy mind, maybe you need to unsubscribe to some magazines. Maybe you need to block some channels. Maybe you need to turn off the TV and the Netflix or whatever. If you want a healthy schedule, what do you need to clean house there? Well, there's eliminate some less important activities. You're going to clean house in your schedule. What if you say, well, I want a clean heart? Then maybe you need to do some spring cleaning in your heart. Spend the time saying, God, what do I need to confess to you? And Augustine once said that the confession of bad works is the beginning of good works. So step three is house cleaning. The Bible says it like this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. So get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to. The old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. Another verse that talks about that is Hebrews 12, verse 1. We must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially any sin that distracts us, so we can run the race that lies ahead of us.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Pastor Rick has a powerful way to re-energize your prayer life. It's called the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Do you ever feel like your prayers get stuck in a rut? Would you like to know what God told me to do when my prayer life got stuck in a rut? It was a time when I just felt like I was praying the same thing over and over and over. In fact, I was beginning to wonder if God was even answering my prayers or even listening. Maybe you felt that way sometimes, or maybe you feel that way right now. So what did God tell me to do? Well, here's what he told me. It was such a powerful way to re-energize my prayer life, and it was so simple that I want to pass it on to you. God told me to do this. He said, Rick, start writing down what you're saying to me, and then I want you to write down what I say to you. Write down what you say to me, and then write down what I say to you. You see, it's really not that complicated. God just said I should start by writing down what I'm feeling, and then I should write down what he tells me after I've read his word. It's really just a form of journaling. And spiritual journaling is a spiritual habit that will help your prayer stay fresh and effective. If you've never tried it, I'm begging you, try this for a week or two and see if it doesn't reinvigorate your prayer life. Journaling has many, many benefits to your spiritual life. It'll help you stay consistent in your prayers. It'll give you a permanent reminder of how God answers your prayers because you've written them down. It shows how God is working in your life. You can go back and review it. It'll even help you worship God more and more as you speak to him. God speaks to people who care enough to write it down. So write down what God tells you, but you've got to have a place to do that. Now, I want to encourage you, and I want to help you take this simple step of learning this new spiritual habit in your prayers, of writing down your prayers and writing down your prayer requests. So what I did is I had my Daily Hope team create a brand new spiritual prayer journal. It's got a real simple to follow format that'll help you put into practice God's wisdom that is found in Philippians 4:6. That says this: don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Those four things are part of the format of our prayer journal for this year. It's really cool. You're going to love this tool.
Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.